I'm going to read an abridged version of a story about pigeons. It's called The Pigeon Piece, being a study on this feathered creature in respect to its environment, humor, and history. And it's structured in an outline. One, we will discuss the subject, pigeons, and as we will discover, it is an exceptionally immense and entirely misunderstood one. To use such a word as pigeon instead of dove, say, is even more apt to be misunderstood. In linguistically speaking, I must say the former appears more than the latter when discussing. Three, an intelligent way of dividing up a book on pigeons would be in sections that involve various encounters with the subject, such as 3A, Pigeon the First. This one would be a dove, rather, cooing softly as it pecked its way across the beautiful black and white granite tiles of the sidewalk one early morning as I accompanied my mother to go where, I can't recall. Let's just say that then, in the course of the day, I had found myself so involved that I didn't notice that my mother had left. And instead, I followed an ambling nature, that is, the first pigeon. 3B, pigeon the second. It was a long time between seeing my first pigeon and encountering the second, perhaps 3 years, 5 years, who knows. Needless to say, I'd grown up to be less than a boy, more often went out on my own to explore the surroundings of a town that I grew up in, and upon my return, my mother would always have a nice peanut butter and jam sandwich waiting for me in the front porch and a nice glass of iced milk. I love those days. I didn't pay much attention to the second pigeon, but merely remarked upon it to myself and said, well, look, a pigeon. 3, C, etc. 4, I've often compared pigeons to a tool chest containing a hammer, chisel, matches, nails, screws, and a glue gun. It was not by chance that it was in this, my workshop, that I came upon this vision of a book on our subject, the pigeon. For it was with all the things in a good workshop that I was able to carry out my research to discover how exacting my metaphor of pigeon was. There are important differences between the tools and the subject, but they're still used in familiar ways, for example, nails or a few good screws. I'm still constantly surprised by the new tricks pigeons play as we enter into this new field. For example, if I again moved to another city and was then able to go undetected, unlike here, where I'm constantly followed by pigeons, then there would be no end to a pigeon toolbox. And then I skip a little bit. 20. It is not only difficult to describe what a pigeon consists of, but impossible, laughter, amiable. To describe what a pigeon consists, precisely the task of this book, I might remind you, we'd have to describe the whole environment. 20A. The square near where you live, a place where luncheonettes lunchgoers frequent. I'll start over. 20A. Square where you live, a place where there are many luncheonettes and many businessmen and women congregating in great periodic swells, where pigeons, some haplessly missing feet, or in one case, pigeon encounter 39, the poor thing's foot, having obviously once been broken, had healed twisted inward and upside down. But how? I don't know pigeon anatomy, nor could I care to know. Leaving it to hobble around, pecking at the leavings of the oblivious or minorly annoyed crowd of sandwich munchers, I followed this trail of crumbs and casually toss ends, and where sometimes I have been conducting my study, this plaza, with its interesting fountain, red brick contours, and pathetic displays of greenery, often befouled by the local locals, delights me anyway, and gives me ample situation to retreat I'm trying to excise things that are referenced earlier. Anyway, 20C. I've never seen a pigeon in a rural setting. In nature, so to speak, what may be surmised is simply that pigeons must have followed humanity from time immemorial. What would a pigeon do without a city? Without the eaves of buildings, the comfort of couches in cafes, of tables and chairs in restaurants, the security of a gated front door, the window shade, the recently changed phone number, no, pigeons would prove too fragile in the company of wolves. 20C, sorry. There were many pigeons at the elevated train stop nearby. They hopped around the aged gray wood planks, wandered around the shiftless feet of waiting commuters, and pecked at the slightest articulation of food. To my astonishment, a cruel thought entered my mind. What would happen if a pigeon were to step on the fabled third rail, just a few terrifying feet from where I stood? After I resolved that the thought was not sadistic, but rather one of only scientific curiosity, I was able to observe without guilt, even at that point, attempting to provoke one to jump down onto the from the platform and onto the track, which it did, along with a companion. The flighty thing kept me wrapped with anxiety and excitement whenever it veered towards the third rail, and relief and rejection when it moved away. I'd become so attentive to this single bird, a white-capped gray pigeon with black and white speckled tail and wingtips, I had almost missed what I had been waiting for. It was not this pigeon, who seemed far more intelligent than its friend, of course. I am attracted to intelligent pigeons over stupid ones, but as a wise man said once, if you can't get an intelligent one, at least you can pester 10 stupid ones. But the companion instead, with a tentative hop, eventually found itself on the third rail. Honestly, I expected it to go stiff and smoke a little, or more horrifically spectacular, to explode. But it only walked along the rail, hopped down in its pigeon way, made it over to the other platform, crossing the other third rail of the opposing line, and carried on its way. Dejectedly, I boarded the train. Thank you.